Welcome into Big League Chewers, episode 2 of season 1. Today's episode, we are recording a late Thursday night with some new guests. We have a jam-packed episode.
Woo!
We'll start off with Haps and Craps, a new segment alert.
Woo!
And then we get into a segment I titled Major L Baseball. We'll talk about the recent L's Major League Baseball has been taking and why the fan base is a little unhappy. Then we'll get into the seventh inning stretch, our trivia segment here, a new format of a question that you guys won't want to miss. Feel free to play along. And then we'll discuss the pitching injuries. So sad that everyone is blowing out their arms. An elbow donor might be needed soon. All coming up next on Big League Chewers. Well, welcome in, everyone. We have episode 2 here, and we have some special guests. We have Jake Bulot and Joseph Rinas. How are you guys doing today?
You know, we're doing good. Gotta say, I was not expecting I'd be on a podcast. I don't know if I have the knowledge, but hey, we're here. We're going to try to do our best, carry the conversation, be charismatic, and give you guys something that you can enjoy.
What about you, Joseph?
I'm also doing all right. I wasn't expecting to be here, but I'm down for anything spontaneous. Let's do it.
For a little bit of context, these two knew they were going to be on the episode just about, I would say, like a half hour, an hour ago. And so we're just rocking and rolling. So a little biography about yourselves. Who is your favorite team in Major League Baseball?
I'll start. I'm a Tigers fan. I mean, anything else, if you're from Michigan, Metro Detroit, anything else is betrayal. So yeah,
good answer.
Lifelong Tigers fan. And you know what? It's been tough. It hasn't been easy. My life has been defined by adversity, overcoming these dark ages for the Tigers. But
yeah, you know, they went to the World Series 2012, and that was like the one good thing that's ever happened to the Tigers, I feel like.
They went to the World Series at like age 10, and we were like, oh, sweet.
That's when I started paying attention to baseball, and I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. We have basically an all-star on the mound every night. And then after that, what, we haven't had like a playoff run since?
2013,
obviously, ALDS, but like other than that, nothing.
Yeah, it's been tough.
Depressing. Another depressing Tigers fan we have on the show is Mr. Evan Katz.
Yeah.
Today running the cameras. Evan, how are you doing?
Struggling mightily over here. Cannot figure this out.
So, like, what's the problem?
I'm hitting the wrong buttons every time. Every time someone talks, I keep putting it to me, and then it goes to them. And I'm like, well, this is great. This is why we need Aiden here. It's tragic.
Trying to steal the spotlight. Well, we'll move into our first segment, Haps and Craps. This is a new segment I just made up and thought it was a good way to summarize the MLB week. So, Haps is short for happy, and Craps is short for crappy.
Creative.
See how that rhymes there?
Fascinating.
So, our crap of the week is going to either your best team, player, fan base, just anything that you thought won the week, and your crap will go to just the opposite, who you thought really stunk it up this week in Major League Baseball. And being the selfish person that I am, I'm going to go first in this department. We'll start with the Haps.
I'd like to have a word with that. Usually I'm first, Jacob. So you're stealing mine here with your pick, and I know what it's going to be. So I'm not really happy about that.
Evan, you told me you were struggling to find a pick, so I'll just save you here. My Hap, I'm going with the Kansas City Royals. They didn't lose any of the games, so like, how could they be a loser if they won all their games? 7 straight wins for the Royals, a sweep against the Chicago White Sox, a sweep against the Houston Astros. Their starting pitchers are just on fire. Seth Lugo, a 1.45 ERA to start the season. Singer, a 0.9 ERA to start the season. Absolutely mashing it up. 4 of their starters have an ERA of under 3. And Marsh, the 5th starter, has a 3.09 ERA. Not too far behind. Bobby Witt Jr., absolutely living up to that contract extension. Salvador Perez looking good at age 33. Vasquez, Melendez, they can hit, and they might be a problem in the Central. Give me them as my hap. So now, Evan, I hope you had enough time to figure out your hap in this one.
You know, I did, actually, and it's going to be the Yankees. And they're off to a 10-3 start. Yes, they're on a one-game losing streak, but 7-3 to start the year, what a phenomenal job.
Anything else to add to the Yankees?
I know.
I know, Joseph. Yeah, my night's been ruined because I was banking on saying the Yankees for this portion. So
that's what you get. Someone took my pick, so I'm going to take yours.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Look at what you did, Jake.
What are you talking about?
You started a chain reaction. I will add to that, though. Yeah, the Yankees, I think this, like, all their off-season picks are, like, panning out. And, like, just that video of, like, the roll call in right field with Soto bringing energy to Yankee Stadium. And as much as I hate it, I have to admit that's panning out pretty good for them. And, I mean, among, like, the teams that are hot right now, I think the Yankees are probably one of the more, like, sustainable runs right now. So
a question for you. Do you think they'll take the AL East?
I mean, I think, like, they're a little fragile in the sense that, like, even during spring training, there was, like, some injury worries with, like, Judge and stuff. And I think they are a couple injuries away from, like, I guess falling apart a little bit. Whereas, like, if you just look at the depth in the Orioles system, I mean, they just called up Jackson Holliday and they got so much more depth in there. Like, I think they're more equipped for, like, that 100-something game season. So I still think it'll be the Orioles, but I'm impressed with the Yankees. I didn't think they were going to turn around so fast. So
very nice. How about you, Jake? Who's your hap of the week?
Yeah, I guess it extends, like, a little past last week, but and it's tough saying this when the Tigers just finished a series, but I'd say the Pirates. I've always enjoyed watching the Pirates. They've got, like, Pittsburgh is a very cool sports town, and it's just fun to see that, like, the team's doing well there. Great stadium. I really liked, like, the pitching looked great. I mean, it was against the Tigers, but looked great. It was
not that hard to do. Yeah,
it's not terribly hard to do. And they did have that mishap. Weren't able to close out that game, fortunately for the Tigers. But other than that, they've been playing great. They've had a great kind of start to the season, and I know that's fun for Pittsburgh, and it's a great sports city.
So we look at the AL, or not the AL, the NL Central, and how wide open it was. And we know last year Pittsburgh had a hot start in April. Do you think that their team is here to stay, especially with more young bats and pitchers coming up in the system?
Yeah, I mean, their hitting looked really good, especially against the Tigers at first, you know. But it kind of wore off there at the end. So I don't know. I mean, they kind of have to, like, see how they play out in this next series. I know they just lost again, so it's kind of hard to say they're a hap for the week. But if they can kind of get their hitting up, I'd say, yeah, they could be around to stay for this season.
Whoever thought the Tigers and the Pirates would have been off to great starts? We saw them really to start the year undefeated at one point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, looking at the data we have in front of us, the Tigers and the Pirates are going to be World Series. It's going to be a matchup. Okay.
I saw when, like, that undefeated thing, that there was, like, a post. It's like, these are the remaining teams. Everybody's like, I'm buying my ticket to the Pirates Tigers World Series.
It's happening.
That'd be fun. For us, at least. But I think that'd be good for the league.
Yeah, that might be awful for the league. Two small cities right next to each other. No. Okay, so recap the haps. We have Royals, Yankees times two, and the Pirates. Now moving on to craps. Evan, since you really wanted to go first in this one, we'll give it over to you to go for craps. Who do you think just stunk it up this week?
White Sox. Well, 2-10 on the year. Let's think about this for a second. They're on a one-game losing streak, but that doesn't show at all. You're playing the Braves, you're stinking it up. You're playing the Tigers, you're stinking it up. I mean, they had good pitching that week, but not great offense.
I'll be honest, like, the White Sox were supposed to lose every game to the Braves, and they won one of them. So that might be a hap.
I was gonna say, I feel like this is like proportional to people's expectations for the team, and the White Sox are, like, actually one of the saddest franchises in baseball right now. Like, they literally got their
over the A's.
I mean, I would say so. Like, at least the A's have, like, news that's, like, I guess
reasons.
Interesting. Yeah. That, like, I feel bad for the Oakland fans, but, like, at least like baseball and like the country is looking forward to like these stages and I don't know whatever saga is next for the A's, but like the White Sox they just stink. Like they have a bad owner. It doesn't look like they're moving right now. And like even if they were thinking about it, that would not go well.
You can just say they're crap.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
So you did there.
Smart guy. But yeah, that's just like a tough scene. I mean, literally the Tigers, their own division rivals, got their play-by-play announcer, so that's tough.
Yeah, they lost everything, even their commentary.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joseph, who's your crap? Are you going with the White Sox, or just you wanted to rant about them?
No, I always enjoy trashing on the White Sox.
It's always fun to rant about the White Sox.
Yeah. No, I like I was saying, like proportional to expectations. For me, it's like I think it's the Astros, the Rangers, and the Mariners in the AL West. I just like I remember going into the season, everybody's like I don't know what's going to happen in that division, and I mean the Rangers are still in first, but like how are they letting the A's and the Angels like win games right now? Especially I mean barring the no hitter and the other good performance by Blanco and like the Astros, that was exciting, but. I mean, even the Astros, their team hasn't changed too much, and they got some big pickups with, like, Hader and stuff. But just seeing, like, Abreu still not panning out and stuff, that's tough. That's tough for the Astros. And then, I don't know. The Mariners kind of came into their own near the end of the season, but they need to pick it up sooner. Kind of like the Tigers.
Yeah, I know, like, momentum doesn't transfer over between seasons. And last week I picked the Astros to win the division just because I thought it was their quote-unquote last dance,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It could have been last year the way they're looking.
I was throwing this out, and, like, I mean, once the season started, I was like, okay, maybe the Astros actually, like, they can make a run this year, and I still think they can. They still have, like, solid foundation. But I was like, you know, this is Verlander's last year with the Astros. What if they're not doing too hot? What if he's up for a trade at the deadline? And if the Tigers are doing hot.
Yeah, because that's what we need is pitching.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know. Maeda and Flaherty. I'm actually more confident about Flaherty, but Maeda, I'm a little iffy on, but we'll see.
What about you, Jake?
I was going to kind of echo the Astros. I mean, we're going to talk about this later, but just like the pitching injuries and that type of thing, just like ruining the depth there. I feel like, I don't know, the AL West kind of reminds me of the AFC West from, like, this past season or a few seasons ago. It just came in with, like, pretty high expectations, and then it's just, like, there's really only, like, one team. And I guess that's not even the case for the American League West. But, yeah, I don't know. There's, like, higher expectations that I thought they live up to, especially after last season with the playoff performances. But, yeah, pitching I guess we'll go into later. But, yeah.
Yeah, so my crap of the week wasn't a team. Well, it is a team, but it was a – particular instance for a team. This happened on Monday. Cubs, Padres. The Chicago Cubs are in San Diego on a Monday night. They take an 8-0 lead in the fourth inning. It was still 8-0 into the sixth inning, and they lost. Tatis hit a 2-run bomb in the bottom of the eighth inning to put the Padres ahead 9-8. The Cubs end up losing that game. 9-8 is your final. Just any game that you're up by 8 runs, especially 8-0
in the sixth.
In the sixth inning, and you choke. Oh my gosh.
It's the script writers, Jacob. Yeah. The script writers.
Okay, so what would the script writers like? Is it just Slam Diego late night fest?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because like I know we talked about the Red Sox, like, oh, that makes sense. Netflix is in on it. But like Padres, Cubs. Maybe we just don't like baby bears.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
The Cubs need a rain delay so they could rest and then come back and continue pitching and hitting. So that's why they lost. The weather was too good.
Yep. Just too nice in San Diego.
Yeah. It happens to the best of us.
All right. Well, that was our haps and craps, a little recap of last week in the MLB. We'll move on to a segment I labeled Major L Baseball, you get it, because MLB, but, like, on the
genius
sheet, I have
creative guy over
lowercase.
What a creative guy.
Hey, watch this.
You should be the host.
Lowercase M, capital L, lowercase B. It's a genius title. So, move right into it. The Angels broadcaster, Wayne Randazzo, kind of went on a rant earlier this week. He was talking about how mad he was at the MLB. I feel bad for him because he might get fined. But
and he's the Angels announcer.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
He had to deal with two runners scoring on a wild pitch this week, so you got to feel bad for him anyway.
Yeah. Was that the Rockies, right?
No, that was the Angels.
Yeah, but it was...
They were playing the Rockies?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's
yeah.
even worse. That's even yeah. worse.
Maybe that's our crap.
Yeah.
The Rockies actually might be a sadder organization than the White Sox, but that's another story.
Cool colors. That's really...
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Cool mountains.
Cool mountains.
The ball flies. High-scoring games yeah. for the other team.
Yeah.
So, basically, he was talking about how Major League Baseball was just not doing good. He was talking about how bad the umpiring has been, which I can agree about, the blackouts in certain areas, jerseys being awful, and Nolan Schonewell. So I wanted to talk about this because he's a rookie for the Angels. He came up a little bit last year, just straight out of college. He kind of zipped through the minors, and he was on pace to have, or he was chasing the record for a rookie on-base streak. And so he had it going into this game. He got on base. But then the day the announcer was doing the rant, he had a hit in yesterday's game. So it's like, oh, he should be going into this game with still his on-base streak. But the MLB changed one of their rulings on one of his base hits that happened just a week ago. And they were like, no, this isn't a hit. It's an error. So I have it on the screen, and we're going to watch it, or at least try to watch it. Here it is.
Okay.
So you can see the first baseman make a tough play, and then the pitcher just drops it.
Runs
so,
through.
Originally, the play on this was...
ruled a hit.
It was ruled a single and then an error by the pitcher because he doesn't make a clean catch.
Yep.
And the problem here was, like...
What's the problem? I don't see anything wrong.
Because it's a tough place, or it's a tough play by Mountain Castle to dive for that ball, and then he had it, and then he kind of made it a low throw, but he hit him in the glove, so he should catch that.
Yeah.
But then the MLB later went through it and changed it, and they said that it was an error on the first baseman, Mountain Castle, but it was still a hit.
Okay. So still a hit, like, still on base.
It's like, okay, I can agree with that, because in any case, that should be a hit. That's a hard hit ball to the first baseman. He's making a tough play, and if you want to call it a throwing error because he didn't throw it directly to the pitcher, fine. Like, I'm fine with that. But they changed it again a third time, and the reason they did that was because they put an appeal, and I assume it was Mountcastle, because he's like, why did I get tasked with this error? I made a fantastic play diving, and if I didn't make that play and just let it go through the infield or into the outfield, it would have been a hit regardless.
Yeah, like, I mean, his goal is to stop the ball.
Yeah. He's like, why am I getting tasked for the error for, like, trying for this? So he appealed to the MLB, and that's run by the MLB Players Association. It's three former players. It's, I think I had it here. Rajay Davis is one of them. Gregor Blanco and Dan Arturo. So those are two outfielders and a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to make a case on an infielder's play.
To a pitcher.
Yeah, to a pitcher. So they went through and ruled it that it was just straight up an error.
So no one's assigned with it?
No one, or I don't know who was assigned with it, but any case, there was no hit.
No hit.
And so... that's what the Angels broadcaster was saying. He's like, why did we change this three times and our final result was the one that made no sense? And so now this young player in a league, something that can draw people's eyes to see if he can continue this on-base streak, we're now just going to end it because, oh, it kind of looked like an error. So that was mainly his rant.
And that, did that start the rant or end the rant?
That was more because it started the rant, because he wanted,
and then
he ended with the rant.
Piled everything else on.
But I think that was the main reason why he went to rant in the first place.
That's fair.
But I still wanted to talk about everything he discussed. So first he mentioned the umpires. And I don't know if you guys watched, like, compilations of umpires' calls, but they've been...
oh, my goodness. They've been dreadful.
They've been awful. I've seen... like, there's two types. There's ones where they're just strikes right down the middle, and the umpire's just like, not doing anything.
Example X, the White Sox game with the Tigers in the bottom of the 10th inning. Spencer Torkelson's up to bat. He gets
It's Mets.
Was it the Mets?
Are you talking about his check swing?
Yeah, the hit by pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
He check swings it. Angel Hernandez calls it a swing.
Yeah, Angel Hernandez, so.
Yeah,
that might be an exception.
Another correlation.
I think a lot of it is Angel Hernandez, and like people have been like, because like they did a breakdown with like AJ Hinch. He's like, Angel, you gotta appeal to first on that, because he called it a check swing on Torkelson that clearly hit his hand, and he never appealed to first. He's just like, oh, I thought he swung. I don't know, and so I don't know. I just really hope we get an automated strike zone soon, because I'm starting to not like.
Yeah,
how bad these umpires are.
Well, I disagree with that. I feel like it takes away. You need that imperfection.
This is my proposed system. You still need the umpire, and we're, instead of hiring these like dumb people like Angel Hernandez to ruin the game, we're gonna hire whoever has the loudest voice in the world. We'll be recruiting voice yellers, and they'll have a microphone in their ear. And it's just a person who's going to watch the strike zone, and he's going to be like, ball or strike.
Yeah.
And if it's a strike, that umpire better yell as loud as he can to bring that excitement. And if it's a ball, he better let him know it's a ball. And then we have no disputes, because it's automated. We know the exact call for it. We see this in volleyball, too, where, like, I know that's pretty random, but they have a like system to know if it hits the line. So if the line judge,
It's in soccer, VAR. Yeah.
Yeah. It's in most sports, and we're not doing it in baseball, and probably the most important aspect of the game. So Evan, how do you like that scenario, or that compromise at least?
Well, I could yell for you if you want, but
we
gotta get Evan out there.
Give us your best umpire impression.
Strike!
Oh wait, no, I gotta set the scene. So
yeah, okay. You made me scream no, strike
that,
for nothing.
Okay,
I appreciate that.
That was strike two. We're getting
full count.
Full count. 3-2.
Oh goodness, I gotta stand up for this.
Bottom of the ninth.
Where's the pitch at? Where's the location of the pitch?
It's gonna be just on the outside corner. Okay, I'm gonna be the guy automating the pitch. All right.
So everyone's looking at him.
You don't even need to look at the pitch. You can be like up, looking up. You just need to hear what I say.
Evan. it's going to be someone whispering. Evan.
Yes, Jacob.
That was a strike three that just perfectly caught the outside corner. Just give us your best call, bucko.
I don't think anyone says that, but okay.
Everyone's looking at you. What's the call going to be?
Strike three!
Ah! All right, yeah. How do you like that system? I just fixed it.
Not with my scary voice, you didn't.
So there'd be no arguments. There would be arguments.
Like if a manager got kicked out of the game, it'd just be because he wanted to.
Yeah. Okay.
He's like, my team sucks.
So then this is a question. Do we do that for all aspects then of the game?
Oh, like safe to first and stuff like
everything.
That? Oh, I don't know. I feel like that's fine. Cause you can review that. Cause you can't review a ball and a strike, but you can review if someone's safe at first or not. And so I'm fine with that, because you don't want to, like, that can take some of those bang plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's waiting for the ball to hit the mitt and stuff, so it's not as observable as a strike.
And, yeah, because the mitt can move all over, stuff like
That's fair.
I don't know. It's tough. Like, so there's, like, they keep umpire scorecards, and, like, these are the past six games. Overall accuracy, 91%, 95%, 90%, 92%, 95%. 91%. So it's like in the game, there are like a couple of those calls that are just like really annoying. But I mean, it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah, it gets annoying when it's not going both ways.
Yeah. They're actually not. Is it like, are we willing? Like, it's annoying, but it's also kind of nice, like watching a game, knowing that like you praying that you get that lucky break.
Some imperfection.
And it's like, oh, I don't need to just rely on the fact that like I have hope that like Javi Baez will get a bad call as opposed to him actually getting a hit. And so it's like, are we okay with like that, you know, 5-8% imperfection that gives like other fan bases hope? And I mean, it's tough for the players because it's not perfect and accurate. But also, like, if we have that perfect accuracy, is it like, you know, I think that might take away a little bit of the element. And I think, like, isn't in the minor league system, it is more of like a reviewable, like, pitch and strike thing. So it only affects those, like, super pivotal calls that are, like, that are game breaking and game changing. But, like, a couple of those, like, smaller calls, like, that inning to inning action, I think are still spiced up by, like, umpires messing up occasionally.
So so I get your point. So you're fine with the imperfection because it adds to the intensity of the game.
I mean, I don't know if I think I would have to, like, I feel like I'd have to do, like, a case study and, like, watch 80 games with like, a perfect, you know, automated, like, umpires, and then watch 80 games just, like, old school, and then maybe some, like, reviewable plays. But it's tough to say. I think there's a perfect version of baseball out there somewhere, but I mean, I think there's a reason that people prefer playing in real life as opposed to, you know, I guess playing like something like MLB The Show. But
I guess I would be fine with that. I just don't like how we have to keep bad umpires in the league, because does that website have Angel Hernandez? Like, he's just the one that comes to mind because his calls
and
are just
year after year.
Yeah, it's consistent. Try. It's not like he gets any better.
I mean, yeah, I think even our bad umpires, like, I think
you just remember the big plays, but, like, overall, it's actually not as bad.
Shout out to Gabe Morales.
No, it's still it's
Giants game 97% accuracy.
It's still, like, so impressive because that is, like, inches away.
Yeah, but that's also their job.
It is.
Dang, the MLB's putting Angel Hernandez out of work. He hasn't called a game in a minute. But yeah, he's somewhere. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it also, like, we're kind of underestimating how much, like, it would affect the game, because, like, that affects, like, pitcher strategy too. You know, like, some of them kind of rely on, like, getting those outside calls, and when those are being automated or whatnot, you know, it would be like it's a whole different strategy of the game, of, like, the pitching style they're gonna take, the pitches they're gonna choose to pitch, where they're gonna be aiming. That type of thing. And same with, like, the catchers and everything. And the batters, if they know that everything is going to be in the strike zone or else it's going to be a ball, you know?
I feel too, okay, this just came to mind, but if the catchers totally can lose the art of framing, because that is no longer existent if you have an automated strike zone, it's going to be so much harder to steal because they can just pop up whenever they want to.
So those are a lot of, like, imperfections that, like, actually kind of keep the game going, you know?
Yeah, there's, like, little stuff, just, like, even, for me personally, it's, like, I played catcher growing up, and, like, some of the things the coach told me are, like, make sure you go up there, you shake the umpire's hand, try and get on his good side, and then, obviously, yeah, you're trying to frame and stuff, and I feel like, you know, that takes away a lot if the strike zone is absolutely perfect. I mean, I think MLB umpires are professional enough that they're not, like, susceptible to little league, like, charming them and stuff, but I mean, maybe, but I still think, like, that framing, and I think there will be, like, a lot of smaller consequences to a seemingly, like, inconsequential change, but, you know.
And also in Wayne Randazzo's speech, not only did he talk about the umpires, but he mentioned towards the end about their biggest star being in a betting scandal, and actually news broke today more about that betting scandal, so we'll get into that. If you don't know who we're talking about, it's Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, Ippy. So it came out that Ippy stole, or at least according to the latest sources, I think federal investigators released this, that he gambled over $19 million. So it's way more than the original four we thought originally. So, man, this dude stinks at gambling.
Is it?
That's what he said in his quote as well.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, I'm trying
to
find...
I just suck at this, LOL.
I'm terrible at this sports betting thing, huh? LOL. Any chance you can bump me again? As you know, you don't have to worry about me not paying! Those are exact texts from Ippy. Oh, man. So, apparently I saw somewhere, too, that his average bet was around $11,000, and he placed, I think, I don't want to say it because I might mess it up, but it was thousands of bets, and the highest one it got up to was like 120,000. So just nuts. But I think that's better news, because last week we talked about, was Shohei guilty in any of this? And even if it doesn't seem like he's guilty, because we did a whole deep dive into the situation.
Yeah.
And basically the question we had to get off was, how did he have access to his bank accounts? Because if Shohei helped him in any way, like if he was like, yeah, you can do this, he would be in trouble. Even if it was a good gesture on his part to help out his friend, like if he's providing money to an illegal bookie, that is like no in the MLB's gambling policy. So I think the fact that we found out that Ippy manipulated the bank accounts and actually said that he was Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. So he fake impersonated Shohei Ohtani to say that he had access to his bank accounts. He fake impersonated Shohei Ohtani and faked his signature to get through those checks. So it looks like as of right now that Shohei had nothing to do with this.
He even apparently turned his bank account notifications off, according to the report that came out today.
Shohei or Ippy?
Ippy did. Ippy turned Shohei's notifications off.
Oh. Which so he's... Like... Yeah, he still has access?
He's like, guys, I am so sorry.
I am so sorry. Sending $30 million to my family.
Which is also funny. Like, I don't know. I've just thought this whole situation's funny because, like, if he's not trustworthy with, like, this huge thing, like, I don't know. Imagine, like, the things that, I mean, Shohei is just putting his full trust in his interpreter that he's telling them what he's saying. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how much got misinterpreted between, like, Ippy and Shohei, or Shohei to Ippy to the public. And it's just, like, funny to think about, like, was he actually telling him everything that was going on? Because he's just fully relying on him.
Like, what if there was something like, hey, Shohei, you can be a better batter. Just, yeah. Like, lift up your like, foot sorry, just a little I'm bit sorry. Early. And then he was like, yo, Shohei, you're doing great. Just up the donuts a little bit.
Do we know what he was betting on?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
I think it wasn't baseball. It was, I thought it was college football. It was a majority of it. And okay. I believe other American sports. But, yeah, I don't know. Apparently, he wasn't a fan of the Michigan Wolverines. He did not do good in the sports betting department. But how do you lose $19 million in sports gambling? Like, that is a problem.
Well, I'll tell you how. When you see a dozen commercials every day on FanDuel, you see DraftKings. Even when NFL players got suspended, in between that segment, it was all FanDuel, DraftKings, and that's how you lose it, because you have all those codes that you have to enter to get, you win $20 for... get 500 on 20. I don't
know. Apparently you didn't take advantage of those promo bets. But I saw on Bleacher Report, because you know they have like BR betting and stuff like that, so they promote betting in a way, and so they were talking about how like like they were reporting on his situation, how like his life is ruined now because of his gambling addiction, because it caused him to make bad decisions due to that. And so now you look at it, and Bleacher Report reported that, and then all the comments were like, yo, you guys are kind of the cause of this, because you endorse it. But yeah, just crazy situation. But
he didn't call the 8 font text at the bottom, gambling, call this number for help.
Yeah, it was too small for Ippy to see. He needs some glasses.
But what is the chance that he's just a super good friend and he's covering for Shohei? He has a large contract, a lot of money deferred, 30 years down the road.
What's he earning each year? It's not that much.
$2 million.
Yeah,
$2 million.
So that's he doesn't have enough to be
paying. Then 30 years down the road, Ippy gets a new island and a new car.
Like Shohei hires like a hit squad to like
have him escape. It forward for taking the greatest.
Just the Asian version of the Shawshank Redemption.
Or what if like okay, Shohei has a ton of money, right? Like what if he hired an Ippy lookalike and then had that Ippy go to jail, and then the real Ippy can like stay, and he's like, yo, Ippy, like thanks for letting me use your name to like get out of this gambling debt.
He just got like transformative plastic surgery and the new interpreter. It's just,
yeah.
If they still get a haircut. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Because, like, if Ippy could just, like, Shohei could just tell Ippy what to bet on, and then Shohei could just perform better or less based on that with how good of a player he is, you know? So like,
yeah, if it was
actually correlated with Shohei, I feel like they would have been making money, not losing $19 million.
Yeah, I don't know why Shohei would need more money though, but
yeah,
I guess gambling's a fun little game.
Yeah, if anything, like if there was any conspiracy behind it, like I think it would just be Shohei is like he likes gambling on the side, but I don't know. The only reason I would say that is just like. The way they're talking about this is like an insane betrayal of trust if like it's true how much they were friends behind the scenes. And then he just goes up there and like holds it together during a press conference. It might be something like that cultural barrier, like I can't read emotions as well when he's like talking in Japanese, but
yeah, well what's like, interesting is like Ippy originally said like, oh yeah, Shohei was just helping me out, and then he said I was a total thief once Shohei came out. So, like, what if he was covering for Shohei? And then Shohei's like, shoot, man, this excuse won't work. Like, you got to be the thief. And so he's like, all right. But I don't know. That's so unlikely.
I wonder what would happen if Shohei did get accused. Like, is the contract voided then with the Dodgers? Or, like, what happens there?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm thinking it would be an administrative leave, wouldn't it?
Probably. Yeah, it would have to be something with suspensions.
You'd regret not taking that money earlier.
Yeah. Why was it deferred?
Why was it deferred?
All right, we'll get into trivia right now. The seventh inning stretch is coming up.
Welcome to the seventh inning stretch. It's a trivia game. If you get the answer right, you win. If you get the answer wrong, you lose. And die.
All right, we have a little treat for the seventh inning stretch. I didn't tell you guys how this would go, and I kind of just thought of it today, and I'm like, oh, that would be a good idea for the seventh inning stretch. So I'm thinking of a player who has played in the MLB, and what you guys are going to do is I'm going to go through 10 clues, and by the end, you guys are going to try to guess this player.
And now, he has played in the past, so he's not active?
He could be active, okay, could have played in the past.
Sure.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal a clue, and each of you guys are going to take a guess. And preferably, it's going to be along those clues, like not just saying any MLB player, because how are you going to get it right? And so I think the strategy in this is if you say an MLB player in your first guess, and then the second clue also corresponds with that player, you can say that player again. I'm not going to tell you if you're correct until the end.
Okay.
So if like one of you guys gets to the first try and you just say that player throughout because it matches everything, then like good on you. And some of these clues are very helpful and some of them, I don't know if they will help you at all.
Great.
So we're just gonna get rolling. So first clue. This player is currently in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
All right, Joseph, who you got? Who is this player?
Aaron Judge, lock it in.
All right, Aaron Judge.
Jackson Holliday.
Justin Verlander.
Okay.
Actually, isn't he in the minor leagues right now? Tough luck.
Evan, that might be not the best guess.
I mean, technically he is in the majors. He's just on the injury reserve.
Okay, yeah. Go with JV.
Okay.
This player is from... Okay, this is clue number two. This player is from... the United States of America.
Wait, so are you gonna say anything about our guesses or no?
No, I'm not gonna tell you if your guess is correct until the end. So if your guess aligns with it, then you can guess that again if you want to, because I mean, you could just have the right answer. I won't let you know until all 10 clues are revealed.
Okay, Riley Green.
Ooh, changing it up from Aaron Judge. All right.
Can I just do the same one?
Yeah, you can do the same one.
Jackson Holliday.
Okay.
Mike Trout.
Okay.
Darn. That's what I said. I'm just kidding.
This player, clue number three. This player is a pitcher. So just a quick recap. They are currently in the majors or currently in the major leagues. They are from the United States and they are a pitcher.
Okay, Jack Flaherty.
Can't be Jackson Holliday anymore. Kershaw?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that pick, Kershaw. It can't be Mike Trout, it can't be...
it's so narrowed down.
You guys are acting like Kershaw is the only one left.
He's like, it's gotta be. It's gotta be Kershaw.
Let's hope Clayton Kershaw's middle name is Allen, because that is clue number four. This player's middle name is Allen.
That's clue four? What are the rest gonna be?
This is clue number four.
I don't even...
Mr. Blake Allen Snell.
Okay.
I don't know anyone middle name. I don't even know if I know
actually don't know if his middle name is Allen.
Yeah, I think that's the
point. Don't think that I'm smarter than I am.
Does Clayton Allen Kershaw sound good to you?
Does it ring a bell? I'll go with it again, I guess.
I'm going to go with Garrett Allen Cole.
Wow.
Okay.
That sounds kind of believable.
This player, clue number five, was born on March 30th, 1989.
Ooh. Okay, so he's a little, he's a older fella.
Still could be Clayton Kershaw.
Wait.
Clayton Zach? Allen Kershaw.
Clayton Allen Zach? Kershaw.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, Zach Greinke is retired.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he's.
Who's an old pitcher? Is Rich Hill still pitching?
Quick search. Rich Hill for the win. Rich Allen Hill.
That's not the answer if he has to search that one up.
Yeah. Wait. I don't know. I'm trying to think of old pitchers, though.
Could be good.
I don't know if he's that old, though.
Well, he graduated with Matthew Stafford.
Max Allen Scherzer.
I'm just sticking with Kershaw.
Clayton Allen Kershaw?
Clayton Allen Kershaw. From the United States. Born in 1989.
For this math, a little hint. They are 35 years old.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
What is David Robinson?
David Allen Robinson?
Yeah.
Okay. Clue number six. Okay, first, let's do a little halfway point. Do you guys think one of you has the correct answer?
Absolutely
not.
No.
Okay. Great confidence. Okay, this player has been on three major league teams.
Okay.
Wait. Max Scherzer? How many? He's been on three now?
No, he's only... Oh, wait, Max Scherzer. No, but he's too old. I think he's like 37 or like 39 or something. Lance Lynn? Ooh. Lance Allen Lynn.
See, the Allen clue does not help.
Does not, no.
I'm trying to think three teams. Someone that's kind of been around a little bit. I guess I'll just go with yours.
Lance Lynn.
You like the look on Jacob's face, that reaction?
Yeah, he liked that one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with David Price. David Allen Price.
Wait, actually, that what might... team is he on?
He was on Boston. He was on the Tigers. I don't know.
And the Rays.
Tampa. And the Rays.
But who's he on right now?
I think Boston again, is he not?
That'd be 3G.
Oh, wait. I got another one on Boston.
All right, clue number seven. This player won the World Series in 2018.
Oh, wait, Nathan Allen Eovaldi?
I'm just going with Joseph for now. I don't have enough depth of knowledge.
They actually had an insane starting rotation. I just can't remember all the players.
It's on the Red Sox. I don't know if David Price was on the Red Sox that year, but we're going to go with David.
Okay.
Okay.
This player was a seven-time All-Star. So, a quick recap. Currently in the majors, from the United States, a pitcher, middle name is Allen, born on March 30th, 1989, 35 years old, has been on three MLB teams, won the World Series in 2018, and is a seven-time All-Star.
I don't know if Price. I don't know if he got. Was he seven-time?
I feel like he is.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like. And what? I'm pretty confident in saying he was on the 2018 team.
Yeah.
Because what was it? I think it was Price, Purcello, Eovaldi.
Yeah.
Two other people who are.
We're
probably
sure he wasn't
right
on more than three teams: Tampa, Detroit, Boston.
I don't know.
That's all I remember, I think.
The thing is, he's an active MLB player.
I don't know. That's for you guys to decide.
Oh, wait. You just said... Okay. Yeah,
well, that was the first clue.
Yeah, David Allen Price. I need more time to think.
I concur.
David Allen Price, you're going with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Evan, this was your guess. Are you rocking?
I'm struggling here. Okay. Yes.
Let's see what the next clue is.
Clue number 9. This player's most known team, the team that he started with, was in the AL Central.
Wait, Chris Sale wasn't on the Red Sox in 2018. Because I know he's on them right now.
Yes.
Chris Allen Sale. I'll shake things up a little bit.
Chris Allen Sale it is.
I'm going to stick with David Pace.
Okay. This player, your last clue, clue number 10, is a current Atlanta Brave.
Oh. Me acting like I'm thinking about this, even though I have no clue.
So a quick recap of all the clues while you guys think. Currently in the MLB from the United States, a pitcher. Middle name is Allen. Born on March 30th, 1989. 35 years old. This player has been on 3 MLB teams. Won the World Series in 2018. A 7-time All-Star. The starting team that he was on and probably the most known team he was on was in the AL Central and is a current Atlanta Brave.
I honestly can't do a guess. David Allen Price, even though it's wrong.
So you're changing to David Allen Price?
Yeah.
Okay.
All I can think of is Strider. Just kidding. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, David Allen Price it is.
I'm going to go with... So on the Braves. You said he was on the Braves.
Yep.
He was at Red Sox. Chris Sale?
So you're going with Chris Sale.
My final guess is Chris
Sale on the Braves right now?
I feel like he is.
I think he actually is. Oh, crap. Okay.
That would be his middle name.
Okay.
He looks like a Chris Allen Sale.
Okay.
Okay, so lock in your...
Well, we know it's not Price, right?
It's definitely not Price.
Because, he wasn't even on the...
I forgot that Chris Sale...
Okay, let's just go Chris... I think Chris Sale would be the safest.
So the whole panel is going Chris Sale?
Chris Allen Sale. Oh, wait, this makes perfect sense now.
Okay, so... I'm going to go through a little bit of the hints to make sure you guys were on the right track, and then we'll reveal the final answer.
Okay.
Okay. So this player is from the United States. He is from the state of Florida, went to Florida Gulf Coast as a college. This player is a pitcher. He is a left-handed pitcher. This player's middle name is Allen. I don't know how to expand on that, but he was born on March 30th, 1989. He is a 35-year-old. He has played on 3 MLB teams. He won the World Series in 2018. That was correct. He was on the Red Sox when he won the World Series. He was a 7-time All-Star. The most known team he was on was in the AL Central. That team was the Chicago White Sox. He is a current Atlanta Brave. The answer to this trivia question and the 7th inning stretch is Chris Allen Sale.
There we go.
Congratulations, panel. I thought Joseph might choke there.
Evan reeled me back in. He brought me back to reality. I completely forgot. Like, I actually knew he got traded, but for some reason I got confused and I thought he got traded back to Boston. But he was on Boston during that 2018 team.
Mm-hmm. He went Chicago, Boston, and then signed with Atlanta this season.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's the other one on that Red Sox rotation? Because I remember it resembling the Tigers.
Was it?
It was Porcello, Price.
It was Porcello.
You were right with Price. That was a good guess because I was like, oh.
Evoldi, and then Sale, and then.
Sanchez was on the Nationals. I forget. But anyway, great job, guys. Evan really clutched through there.
Nice
Joseph with the nice initial guess. Jake kind of
carried it,
stabilizing things. Yeah, he'll get the MVP.
Facilitating.
In this one.
He gave me time to think. That's
time to think. That was my thing.
Hey, we were almost on to it with Clayton Kershaw, guys.
Okay, so moving on to the next segment, we have to talk and close this episode out with talking about the pitchers and the injuries that they have sustained during this season. These include AL Cy Young winner Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, Robbie Ray, Shane Bieber, just a whole list of potential stars. They really look like a Cy Young list if you look at them, and they are all injured. Valdez, Perez, Bieber, of course, as we mentioned earlier. Even Shohei Ohtani, Jacob DeGrom, just not doing good as far as the pitching is concerned. And I want to start this segment off with getting your guys' thoughts and what you think is the main reason why we are seeing so many pitchers go down so early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I was like talking about this with other people just outside of this, and I mean, I'm kind of just copying what Justin Verlander said in like a recent interview, but he pretty much, I don't think it's one specific thing. I think it's like a snowball effect. There's been a range of things just contributing, and now it's like extremely prevalent, and it's just stuff like, you know, that shift to analytics, then they start prioritizing spin rate and velocity. They're encouraging people to throw harder. Everybody playing baseball, their ultimate goal is to be at the MLB. So, you know, major league coaches say, hey, start throwing harder, start spinning the ball. Then minor league coaches start saying that, and then college, and then high school. And so pitchers are just starting out throwing harder at a younger age. And there's just been a de-emphasis, like, on I guess, like, I mean, I think there's still an emphasis on, you know, obviously hitting your spots in the zone, but I think they obviously really don't want contact, and you know, I think they just see that as like an unneeded risk. So they're pitching hitters for like no contact, swing and miss. And so I just think like all of that is adding together, and then obviously the pitch clock introduction in the past two seasons, and you know, just taken away from people's recovery time. But there's probably some other factors too. I don't know. There's probably some adaptation that could take place. I don't really know. It'll be interesting because it seems like they can keep pushing the human body further. So it'll be interesting if they need, I mean, it's hard to tell people like, don't do this, even though you know that you can. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, do they change rules? Does medicine just adapt and they figure out ways to overcome this? I don't know.
Do you think it has to do with analytics as well, where you're going through certain parts of the rotation, right? So you go through the lineup. You're not expected to get up through the lineup three times anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to throw higher velocity at the start, and then your arm's just getting tired because you're coming out of that pen throwing 99 velocity, hundreds, because Verlander said it in that video where you have 10-year-olds trying to throw 99 miles per hour, and then they come up and they're like,
trying.
What happened?
Their arm is a noodle. It's hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, I liked what you said about that. Like how it just starts, it's like what's expected. So it starts at lower levels, and just like when your arm's still developing, or when you're in high school or college, you know, and you're trying to do that velocity and bring that type of thing to the plate, it's just, it's not going to set you up well to succeed long term in MLB. Yeah.
And really, like, it depends on the person too, because not everyone has a body to throw 100 miles per hour. Now, you can throw 100 miles per hour. That's not mean you're built for it. Like, Aroldis Chapman, for example, he is built to throw high velocity. He's still,
yeah, we saw that last
in week. His high to mid-30s, and he's just gassing it. He's not getting as injured as these other pitchers. And it's like Verlander said, it's just the emphasis is on spin rate and it's on velocity. And then you have factors that the MLB has put in place, which are good stuff. Like the pitch clock is very good. It helps speed up the game. And like the control more on sticky stuff on the hand, I guess that's good because you don't want too much advantage coming through. But if you have a pitcher who now doesn't have sticky control on the ball, that requires more force to be thrown on their arm, more strain on their arm. As Evan said, they're not expected to go a full duration, it more so quote unquote eat up innings anymore and have a good quality start. It's more so just get through those five innings and then let the bullpen go to work, because you want those more quality, high velocity pitchers as long as you can. And that, with the pitch clock going down too, not as much recovery between pitches. It's just a lot of strain on these pitchers, and I'm not surprised that we're seeing it all add up. Yeah. So I wanted to talk. We talked about the reasons. Now, what do you guys think are the solutions to this problem? Because obviously we can't continue to have that, because we'll have no pitchers eventually.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Verlander kind of pointed this out, but he thought there were like some changes to the baseball, giving it a little more pop and stuff. I mean, I think this would be in line with other changes they've made in the past, with like taking away the shift rule. They want more balls that are like harder to field, and they want more action, and you know, they want to push the defense to, you know, make plays. I think maybe changing the baseball in the future, maybe give it a little less pop, make home runs harder to hit. That way, bring back an emphasis on contact and defense. I feel like that could be a change that could come and would be subtle enough that most people probably wouldn't notice. But, I mean, aside from that, like they said, you know, I can remember back even like 5-10 years. It's like, I remember a good outing was they complete like a full 6 innings or they go 7 innings or something. Now it's like, oh, you go 5 1/3, you go 5 full innings, you know, no runs, then you did your duty. But then that's like, you know, that's putting stress on like the bullpen constantly. And then a starting pitcher eventually is required to push themselves eventually. So I don't know, maybe expanding like bullpen roster spots or something. But I'm not sure if that's exactly what fans want to see. I mean, obviously starting pitchers like the stars of the pitching, you know, the pitching crew, aside from maybe like the closer. So I think they're trying to balance like what the fans want, and then obviously the Players Association, that they were already complaining, saying like the pitch clock. So I think the compromise will be somewhere between what the MLB is trying to do to engage fans and the MLB Players Association, obviously just trying to stay healthy. So
yeah, I'd agree with that. Like what we were talking about earlier, if you find something that does work, like that high velocity, it's hard to tell people to stop doing that because it's like, we have something that works, why not do that? So I do think like there's gonna have to be some changes made outside of just like the velocity. I don't really think the pitch clock has like a ton to do with this. I mean, I get like the recovery time, I guess, but I think there's more root issues other than that, just the pitch clock there. But yeah, I mean, as kind of it plays out, as the seasons play out with this kind of higher velocity demanded and stuff, I think they'll be able to compare the success that they've had with this being higher demanded with the success in the past and just kind of see if like a big difference is even being made. Because if it's costing you a pitcher and you're only winning like 10 extra games, if you're only having such a lower ERA than before, it's like, is it really worth it when you're losing your pitcher and you're having to bring people up? So that's kind of what I would say on that, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen a couple of solutions for this. I know Joseph mentioned it earlier, but expanding pitcher rosters, mm-hmm. just so you can have, especially when double hitters happen and then you have a game the next day, it's really stressful for your whole bullpen. And you have to almost rely on someone because your bench runs out pretty quickly, and you need to, I guess, be proactive in having players available for the next days. You can't just focus on a specific game. And I think that would be something that I think the Players Association would be good with, and like the fans too. I don't mind if you have another pitcher on the starting roster. Obviously you might see less of the starters, but I think that role will be more towards the bullpen, which I don't know if that will directly solve the problem we're having with mainly starting pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
But another one I saw, and I didn't like this solution, was it was have a speed limit for players. It was like put it at like 96. I'm like, one, that takes away from the fans because we want to see the best baseball that can be played.
Yeah.
And two, that only helps with fastballs. Like, if the pitch limit is 96, like, I'm still going to try to pound that curveball or slider as fast as I can.
You're going to tie, like, a brick to the player's arm that, like, makes the ball not come out when it's above 96?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the ruling was, like, if you throw it over 96, it's just an automatic ball.
That doesn't even really make sense because, I mean, you're doing it to protect the pitcher. If the pitcher doesn't want to hurt himself, he just won't pitch over 96.
Yeah.
So I don't get that.
But, I mean, like you said, they're forced to throw as fast as they can because, especially in the majors, like, none of their spots are guaranteed. It's not like any other sport. Like, you can be sent down and you can be sent down far, especially with how easy it is to get players up and down in the majors and minor leagues. So you're fighting every day for basically to stay up with the big boys. And even like Tarik Skubal for the Tigers, like outstanding pitcher. It almost seems like he has a solidified spot for the Tigers. But early on in his career, even his first like three seasons, if he had a bad stretch, he was getting sent down. Like, you always have players that you want to replace with, especially if you have those players, potential replacements who can throw faster than what you're comfortable with throwing with. It can be very stressful for these players. So I don't know if just relying on them wanting just self-control for their speed, because some of these pitchers are psychos. Like, every pitcher will stay in the game until the manager yanks them out. It's never a pitcher saying, oh, my arm's tired, coach or manager, I can't do this. It's always the other way around. It's always the manager. So I think more so the focus in this case would probably be pitching coach, because we mentioned it earlier how if you see that the fast velocity rate only gets you like one or two more games, but losing a starting pitcher for a whole season might cost you whatever their WAR is, which is like 4 or 5, let's say, for a good starting pitcher. Like, that hurts more than them trying to bank it in.
It's just not worth it.
At 100 miles per hour. So I think it's really up to the coaching staffs to help manage their players more properly. And really, I don't really know how much the league can do besides if we want to actually look at the pitch clock and be like it was last year.
That could also go down into, like, the farm systems, too. Just, like, with what we were talking about, like, requiring those younger players to, like, perform at those levels. Like, if we can kind of preserve them maybe until they get to the big leagues, where, like, I know that's tough to do when you're not practicing what you're going to be doing, but, like, I don't know, maybe put some limitations on just in the farm systems.
I think there kind of already is. I think if you look at, like, the innings pitched by minor league pitchers, it's pretty – it's not crazy.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if we go along the lines of, like, it's up to the coaching staff, I think realistically a change we could see in the future is just our concept of, like, a starting rotation changing. I mean, you can already see it now. Like, back in, like, 2012 or something, you had, like, a 5-man rotation. Now it's, like, a 6-man rotation with, like, 7 to 8 unofficial people on the rotation who are ready to go in the minors.
And, like, bullpen days as well.
Yeah, so it's, like, I think a realistic thing is maybe just changing the idea of, like, a starting rotation and starters. It's, like, I mean, thinking of, like, the Tigers, it's, like, we have, like, Holton, Miller, Foley, Lang, like, 4 high-leverage guys. And then we have, like, Fiedo. I think Chafin kind of is an inning eater. Probably somebody else I'm forgetting on there. It's, like, maybe we take away, like, you know, Lang, and we have 3 inning eaters, and we have, like, you know, 3 high-leverage people, and those inning eaters are regularly going to come in and pitch. Or it might be, you know, we're going to actually start starting games, like, you know, we're going to do 3 innings for each starter, then 3 innings for each starter, and that's, like, 6 guaranteed innings. And then maybe if they're really good, like, 4 innings, then that's, like, 8 innings. So it might be, like, Scoobal and Manning are starting a game together, and they're both, like, no more than 4 innings. So, I don't know.
I remember when Mize and Scoobal came up, because they came up at the exact same time. Hinch had to put a pitch limit on them because they were such young arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see
and
that
they
with,
still got hurt.
Yeah, Mize still and Scoobal still got hurt. But you see some of those, like, preventative things, and especially with the rate they're going right now, I think you could see more common practices like that, or just other concepts that they come up with.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, the double starter thing is, like, a little more radical, but I think, like, a bigger change you could see is more, you know, just we don't need as many high leverage guys. We need, like, quality inning eaters who are, like, as good as, you know, starters. And, you know, maybe that, like, pitching roster expansion a little bit. So I don't know.
For sure. Yeah, very interesting situation, and really, I think, a very interesting show we discussed. We talked about our haps and craps. That was very early in the episode. And then we introduced our major L's, what we think MLB needs to fix. That includes umpiring, a whole range of topics. And then we got into trivia, a little deep dive 10-question player survey that you guys can rewind and even play for yourselves. And then we talked about the pitching and the injuries and how we want to address that, or at least our ideas of how we fix that situation because no one wants to see someone go down. Evan, you are raising your hand and you want to speak.
Yes. I have a question about this trivia point system, right? You know how Pick the Stick has a point system where you get minus or double? Is that the thing we're doing here where you get correct points for...
So you're saying because you're the only one who showed up today versus everyone else?
That there was first of all, that should be bonus in the scoreboard, but yes.
Okay, Evan, in our unofficial scoreboard, you will have a one next to your name.
Why is this not an official scoreboard?
It is a very official scoreboard. Jake and Joseph are also tied for the lead.
I mean, on the Bailey thing, they have like people on there who I'm like, I never even see them on TV.
Yeah, you guys need a scoreboard to hang up for every episode.
Yeah, we'll have that. Okay. Scoreboard coming soon for trivia. Don't want to miss that.
Just another thing I need to click over here, yes.
Yes. And also we have an Instagram page. Go follow that. @BigLeague_Chewers has everything developed in Major League Baseball as well as our own content. So please follow along. A huge thank you to Impact Sports for letting us use their equipment and their studio today. If you want Jake and Joseph back on the show, please let us know.
We'll
try to get back on if they so choose. But that will wrap up episode 3. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned next week for Big League Chewers episode 3. See ya.